Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And an Achilles it was. The latest twist and turn in the Deshaun Watson Cleveland Browns saga was the twisting and turning of his ankle as his Achilles detached itself from the rest of his body. And Deshaun Watson, it is confirmed, is out for the season. And so, hi, happy Monday. Hope you're doing well. We've got Mac Robinson on the board today. We got Meredith Kane behind the glass. We got Jonathan on the 20s until, of course, JP comes in and co-hosts with me in the, I don't know why I said it that way, but when he co-hosts with me coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. And of course, Nick Wilson, afternoon drive, yada, yada, yada. But how are you doing? Right? I don't know that there's been more of a stark contrast from the weekend I had personally, which was filled with things like carving pumpkins with my three daughters, like, you know, moments where, whether it's Friday night or, you know, Saturday during the day, beautiful autumnal weather, had a lot of good laughs, had a lot of good moments. I don't know there's ever been a starker contrast between the personal and the professional. Because once again, whether it was the Guardians losing the ALCS in game five there in kind of heartbreaking fashion, which put an end to what was probably one of the most fun Guardian seasons I can remember, because for most of the year, we just got to enjoy really good baseball instead of focusing on things like pressure and ring culture and all the dumb things that sucked the fun out of being a fan, excuse me. And then obviously on Sunday, it wasn't just enough to lose for the Cleveland Browns, but to then have Deshaun Watson injured and everything that came with it, right? The questions about, did Deshaun Watson play his last game as a Cleveland Brown, right? Then to watch the rest of the Browns struggle without Deshaun, proving that it was probably more than just a Deshaun problem in the first place. Then listening to Kevin Stefanski talk about why DTR was the backup instead of Jameis Winston, which, I'll be honest with you, I think most people felt like if Jameis was the starting quarterback yesterday, you would have won that game. But because the one time in carry the two, now was it seven games? We're seven games now. Yeah, I blacked out. I forgot. You chose to put in the second year backup, who then played like a guy who hadn't got a lot of reps with the ones. So yesterday was just another in the long line of you know what with the Cleveland Browns. And the reality is, I don't know what the next hour is going to hold here. I know I have things on a piece of paper here that I prepared, but the reality is I've done this show already 15 times. I have. There is the literal things that we're going to say today, the things that I've literally been saying for whether it is now 7 games, whether it's 8 weeks, whether it is 12 weeks, 15 weeks, 16 weeks, the themes that we've continued to explore with the Deshaun Watson situation. Or whether it's just the fact that literally yesterday from the Deshaun injury on, actually, no, it started with a game and the fact that the very first play from scrimmage and the very first play of the game at all was a punt return for a touchdown that is just a new wrinkle in the level of suck with the Cleveland Browns and just more evidence that parts of this team have already checked out and we're not even at the bye week yet. But the truth is, I'm not mad about another loss. I've done this part of the show, and it started with a TikTok I did yesterday. No, I'm not plugging my TikTok, at Nick Wilson says. I'm not just doing that because it went viral. No, it started yesterday when I started to kind of hear what was coming out of the Browns locker room about not just the Deshaun injury, but how fans in the moment reacted to it. And my first thought was, as I heard Jameis Winston speak very passionately about how Deshaun has been mistreated, or when I heard Myles Garrett use some level of terminology that described Deshaun as a model citizen, and it just brought me back into this this conversation on Deshaun Watson and the trade and the what brought him here and what happened before Deshaun and what has happened since and what will happen after Deshaun and how the Browns operation, how the Browns organization operates, whatever it is, the reality is 5 hours, as long as that is to talk, cannot contain the correct amount of emotion and logic and revisionist history, straight up history, detail, whatever you need to do to describe what has become the greatest albatross on Cleveland sports fans in the history of Cleveland sports. And I don't know, maybe some of those folks in the Browns organization relatively new here, we've had our albatrosses before. We had a 50-year drought for titles. We had almost losing the then Cleveland Indians about four times over because of ownership and money issues. We had stadium issues. We lost our football team, right? We've saw Bill Belichick move on from the prodigal son, Bernie Kosar, because of diminishing skills. And then we had to watch Bernie win a ring somewhere else and not do what fate had decreed that he would do in Cleveland. We have seen some bleep. And yet here I am talking again about Deshaun Watson and the worst trade in Cleveland history. Can I just tell you, it feels pornographic to be able to say that. To finally just be able to exhale and just let it out. Because we've been waiting for anything, right? Any single little thing, that any glimmer of hope that this thing isn't exactly what it is, which is the worst and dumbest decision. And it's not just about the decision, but most poorly executed decision in Cleveland sports history. It's one thing to trade for the guy with everything that came with Deshaun Watson. It's another to then put limiters on how successful you make it with your own decisions. And so I have just thought in circles and I've just beat the crap out of myself trying to figure out. And I've realized that this entire time, guys, I've been trying to logic what is clearly an emotional issue. The logic in the Deshaun Watson trade X amount of years ago, I don't know, time's a flat circle. 3 years ago, it could have been 100 years ago at this point. The logic was, well, if he just plays good football, no one's going to talk about anything else involving Deshaun Watson. But then the Browns didn't have the common courtesy to finish off the Faustian bargain that they made. We're going to fit him into our system. Well, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Then in fairness, Deshaun owes his own feeble attempts here to kind of make it work in Cleveland. So this is not just, and what takes an encyclopedia in almost some sort of mind palace to spew out how you think and feel on today in what feels like the end of Deshaun's journey in Cleveland. He might be here. Contractually, this might be another lost year for him next year. The same way was it 2021 was for Deshaun in Houston, where you just pay a guy to, I don't know, hang out in the break room for a year and pay him $50 million to do it. By the way, if the Browns don't want to do that, I'll take $50 million to hang out guaranteed in your break room for a year. If that's just the going rate that we're doing here. That's funny. Like, you know, people are talking about in this locker room is waxing poetic about cheering Deshaun's injury. And it's become this own thing. And I've heard people on a national scale glom onto it. The same people, by the way, who were openly saying they were rooting for Deshaun to fail. Just so we're clear. I mean, actually saying, Deshaun threw another interception? Oh, no. Now it's we got to clutch our pearls because Cleveland fans and an amount of, not necessarily all of them, cheered an injury for Deshaun Watson. And let's just start here. Actually, I think we started about 7 or 8 minutes ago. I don't know. Time's a flat circle. But let's just start here. It's poor form. It is classless. It is tactless to go ahead and cheer somebody when they're injured, no matter what they're accused of, no matter what they have done, haven't done, what you think they've done, no matter your perspective on it. That's the one thing the Browns locker room got right yesterday. Now, a lot of those guys couldn't be bothered to talk after the latest loss 2 weeks ago. A lot of those guys had their own private feelings on Deshaun, and this does feel like another opportunity for the same guys to have the same conversation and moral high ground fans who honestly, listen, Browns fans aren't perfect, and we're going to get to that in just a second here. Not even close to perfect. It is, we use microcosm. Ooh, Some knob, like 15 years ago, had a sports show and used the word microcosm, and now every single guy with a sports talk show makes sure to mention that sports is a microcosm of life. Well, Browns fandom and what we saw and what we have seen these last 3 years is a microcosm of this entire freaking country. So, was there a lack of empathy yesterday? Yeah. Yes, there was. And I'll be honest with you, I can't co-sign it. Whether you have very real reasons to not like Deshaun or not, that's not the point. The point is, I saw this with kind of interactions of everybody like, well, I don't owe him empathy. As if empathy was like it was karma, or empathy was like something that you store away in the bank and then go, here is your 25 cents of empathy. Every human being, no matter what they've done, what they're accused of, who they are, every single human being deserves some level of empathy. Empathy is not something that's diminished, and then all of a sudden, oh, beep, 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 I've got 12 cents of empathy to hand out. Who gets it today? The point is, I'm not here to lecture Browns fans who, quite frankly, acted classlessly when Deshaun Watson got injured. I'm not. Because yesterday was the summation of 3 years of powerlessness by the Cleveland Browns and their fans. And if I'm really going to start to allow myself to feel things and think things and maybe stop compartmentalizing being a Browns fan and just address the Deshaun situation head on, right? If I'm really going to do that, no, I'll be honest with you, booing Deshaun or cheering Deshaun Watson's injury isn't even the top five most disgusting things I've seen from alleged football fans or Deshaun fans or Browns fans in the last 3 years. Because that was the great taste yesterday. Yeah, the great taste I got yesterday was watching women coming forward and talking about what the last 3 years have meant to them. And by the way, these are the same women who years have been shouted down by a bunch of toxic on social media because people know better than people sexual assault in their history, or who just be completely marginalized by a team that said, hey, who cares about this? Who cares about things like sexual assault or allegations or lawsuits? Because the football's going to be worth it. And then again, they didn't have the common courtesy to make the football worth it. It's as if you made the Faustian bargain for, well, we're going to trade our souls, our morals, our ethics for winning football, and then you got a lump of coal. You got a quarterback who can't stay healthy, who can't play well, and seemingly cannot be responsible for his own actions. And then you've got a bunch of really smart, and I do think good guys, who came out in defense of that guy. And I'll be honest with you, the defense of don't cheer an injury, not really my problem. Who in the hell thought it was smart to have Jameis Winston talk about this yesterday when Jameis came out and said, this man's had the world against him for 4 years? Was there any logic in that? Or was that an opportunity to try and save face for the latest blunder of the Cleveland Browns? Because I like Jameis. We had him on the show. I don't know Jameis before I interviewed him for the first time earlier this year. My interactions with Jameis have been A-OK. And I appreciate the passion with which he spoke with. But thought, hey, maybe the guy who's also been accused of some things, maybe the guy whose own road in this entire journey, maybe he shouldn't be one of the guys out here preaching about how he was raised and maybe lecturing people. No, nobody thought about that. No, nobody thought about that one at all. Because it was the latest in the line of, well, let's go ahead and just do this. Let's get this out there. We got to say something to say something. I'll be honest with you guys. I didn't see any Browns players who, for the last 3 years, as Browns fans, as female Browns fans, or people who have shared their issues with in their history with sexual assault, I didn't see any Browns fans standing up for any of those people on social media as people shouted them down because how dare those people share their experience and the way the trade for Deshaun made them feel. So, big picture. Because at this point, I'm just incensed by it all. I'm so annoyed at the Cleveland Browns for making this trade 3 years ago. Founded in logic. Well, if he just plays good football, no one's going to care. And then he didn't play good football. I'm going to go ahead and go on a limb and said the Browns really never seriously considered that Deshaun Watson was going to fail. I'm going to go ahead and say that their processes and their logic and all the different crap that allows them to think so supremely. Well, we're billionaires. We don't make mistakes there. Well, I went to Penn. I went to Harvard. I used to run a Major League Baseball team. I'm going to go ahead and say they never really seriously considered or at any point felt the sting or pressure of Deshaun's failure until maybe this last year. Yep, it was classless that fans, that the 3% or 5%, because again, like the LeBron jersey burning, I'll spit it out. That was like three guys, a local comedian, very funny, by the way. You should check him out, Factory of Sadness. It was three guys. And for 10 years, I've heard about burning jerseys. So was it 3% of the crowd yesterday? Or was it 5%? Because I've also heard people call in and say, no, that guy that was cheering that you saw on TikTok or Twitter or Instagram, no, we shouted him down. But again, it's all Browns fans cheered Deshaun's injury. So we can clutch our pearls a little bit more. Browns fans, in no way, are Browns fans innocent if you cheer Deshaun's injury. But when we get into the pantheon of lack of responsibility and lack of thought and lack of execution, and quite frankly, the dumbest ass 3 years of Browns football I've ever seen, Browns fans might be the only potential victim in this whole godforsaken thing. If you really want to be upset about something, if we're going to get upset about the 3%, let's start maybe thinking about the lack of empathy, big picture. Because that is the tale that is told, not just yesterday, but for the last 3 years. I don't know that I've made heads of tails of where the Browns are, but congrats. The Browns wanted to make history when they traded for Deshaun Watson. You've made history. This is the dumbest and worst trade ever. And you've turned a team that was one quarterback away from a championship allegedly 3 years ago into the Hindenburg. 216-474-0092. I blacked out. Nathan Zagura joins us at 3. JP joins along at 4. See if he's as fire and brimstone as I am today. We've got Jason Stanford, former Cleveland pitcher, at 4:40. We'll get his thoughts on the Guardians losing in the AL. Wouldn't it have been nice to talk about what a great team that was this year and just how much Guardians baseball continues to stand for what Cleveland should stand for? Daryl Ryder joining us at 6 as well. The 5 at 5 at 5. We got plenty to get to, guys. We'll see you on the other side here. The injury to Deshaun Watson, I'll be honest with you, I do think, I actually will say, because I use the word empathy a lot in that first segment, and I'll try and be a little bit more concise instead of just a rabid, foaming dog in this segment. I totally understand that players hear what they believe is any amount of people cheering Deshaun Watson's injury, and man, I think that pissed me off and upset me too. And that is, the reality is, I don't know how to tell Miles or Jameis or Greg Newsom. You know, I think the Morning Boys today did a great job of kind of talking about, hey, is it going to be players versus fans for the rest of the season? And it might be. And that's an uncomfortable position to be in. But the fans didn't pit themselves against the players. I think some fans pitted themselves against Deshaun, but in reality, the organization created this situation that has fostered whatever that was yesterday. Because what really happened, guys, is the Browns fans feel powerless. Browns fans themselves didn't decide to move on from Baker. Browns fans themselves didn't decide to trade for Deshaun or give him the contract. Browns fans didn't have a say in whether to trade for a person. And it's really important to note, because anytime you start talking about Deshaun off the field, you get people who say, well, there were no charges pressed, or no this, no that. And the reality is, I'm so sick of the code switching that is involved talking about why people might have a problem with trading for Deshaun in the first place. It's not even about Deshaun, right? It's about the perception of those things and trading for them under the guise of football's the only thing that matters. Well, if you're going to think like that, then football actually better be worth it. And it hasn't been. And specific to this idea of, I have no problem with players coming out and being disgusted by their perception that fans, whether it's 1% of fans or 100% of fans, anybody who was there told me, we're talking 3%, we're talking 5%. And that those fans who did cheer Deshaun's injury, that they, in some cases, were shouted down, and that entire sections of people said, hey, that's not who we are. And so if we're going to judge Browns fans by the worst 3 or 5 or 7%, then we can do that with literally anyone. But I'll be honest with you, I find it incredibly fraudulent to hear anyone talk about Deshaun being a model citizen and Miles speaking for Deshaun in college and the pros, when during Deshaun's time in the pros, there were a couple things that painted, no matter how you feel about it, whether he was a model citizen or not. And for Jameis yesterday to say, and listen, I actually liked parts of what Jameis said. We're going to play it here in a moment. Where Jameis talked about, you know, the Deshaun sacrifice for this town. Okay. I mean, I'll be honest with you guys. Deshaun's taken an absolute butt whooping this year. And physically, I don't doubt the guy's very tough. I mean, I think he's tougher than hell. He took a butt whooping and he got up every time. That does speak to some level of toughness. But I'm going to play Jameis here talking about, because again, if you're going to jump into these waters, you better swim pretty safely here. There are a couple things you can't touch on. Miles saying model citizen and then speaking to the existence of Deshaun going back to college, Miles can't talk about that. Miles can only talk about his perception and his dealings with Deshaun here. So I think there's a fair amount here that no matter where Deshaun is off the field, that says maybe he wasn't a model citizen off the field. That's where you lose me. And Jameis had some really good points yesterday, and in the middle of this is where Jameis lost me.
The way I was raised, I was taught to love no matter the circumstances, especially for people who do right by you. I'm grateful that I had a chance to serve Deshaun, but I am very upset with the reaction to a man that has had the world against him
for the past
4 years.
Why has he had the world against him, Jameis? Why did you have the world against you? Okay, continue.
Years, and he put his body and life on the line for this.
Stop it there. Put his body on the line. He didn't put his life on the line. No player has died in football, though DeMar Hamlin came pretty damn close. Continue.
Every single day, regardless of your perception, regardless of what you...
Stop it right there. Perception. This is where I think it becomes really interesting, because for 3 years I've said, how can we find out who Deshaun really is? Because one of the circumstantial things that came up in the Deshaun trade is, because you didn't have a pre-existing relationship with Deshaun Watson, right? You didn't know Deshaun before the allegations. You knew of him in abstract because he was a great player in the league and he did great stuff in Houston. You knew him from Clemson, but you didn't know him the way you have to know somebody when they play in your town. And for 3 years, I feel like I've been screaming into the void the importance of Deshaun finding some footing with fans that had nothing to do with football. Because the problem with continuously making it all about football is sometimes the football ain't worth it. And so for 3 years, because I want to get back to that idea of perception, Deshaun could have changed the perception on who Deshaun was by finding ways to engage with fans and on a bigger scale in a meaningful way. And Deshaun's choices were to do a podcast with Quincy Avery, which sure felt like a safe space to neglect anything real other than talking ball, which does not ingratiate yourself to fans in general. Deshaun has had countless opportunities to go on any media outlet in any space, even something like him controlling an AMA where Browns fans could hop on and ask him a question or doing a live video or doing anything. And the part of this that is unfortunate, and I'm going to use that word because it is unfortunate, some of the vitriol towards Deshaun was, you could have shortcut this. You could have gotten away from this. If anybody at any point had been the adult in the room and said, hey, fans don't have a relationship with this guy, the football isn't working, maybe we should find a way to have a relationship between the fans, the very passionate fans here, and the quarterback. But Deshaun had a guy on the PR staff that apparently his job was to go find people to say nice things about him on social media. That's not real. That does not matter to people in an area where real does matter. And you can say, well, my teammates know who I am, until you're blue in the face. If the fans don't realize who you are, if they don't know you, if you all they know are allegations, if that's all they know, then they're going to judge you on the football. And one more time, the football wasn't good enough. I cannot believe that whether it is Miles, whether it is Jameis, Deshaun was not, okay, Deshaun was not the victim yesterday. Victims don't get paid $300 million to play football. I actually did feel empathy for Deshaun, because I think in that moment, yesterday was 3 years of frustration, of feeling like your character has been besmirched, whether it's real or not, whether he did whatever he did or not, that's not for me. But I understand. I could put myself in the theory or the place of having somebody who feels like the world is against him, and then here's another thing of the world being against him, which is and nobody knew it. Like, everybody knew it was an Achilles. Everybody knew. That play is synonymous with, all right, we'll see you in a year. But the idea that anyone tried to sell any of this as anything other than a culmination of 3 years of crap, and to paint Deshaun as the victim in this scenario, was wildly insincere, wildly irresponsible. If you had just kept it, if you had just kept it to cheering an injury, cool. But when you get on a soapbox and talk about, well, he's been hated the last 4 years, then finish the sentence. You don't get to choose which parts of the conversation you want to have. If you want to go ahead and put on the high road, and you want to take the high road, and you want to soapbox everybody. And no, he hasn't been a model citizen. That doesn't mean that everybody hates him. But man, I got to tell you, it wasn't just insincere because they referenced who Deshaun is off the field, who nobody in Cleveland really knows 3 years later. It was insincere because a week ago, some of those dudes had issues with Deshaun too. 216-474-0092. We got a bunch of calls on this, guys. I do want to hear from you as it relates to where the Browns are. Where are you with this season with the Deshaun injury in the Cleveland Browns? More on that next on 92.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elijah Moore thing is going to be something we got to talk about. But the reason why we played that sound is I think there is this sense that now that Deshaun is out for the season and, you know, again, the conversation we're going to be having all day, all week, all year is, has Deshaun played his last game for the Cleveland Browns? Do you offload the contract? A million different kind of tributaries of that. But the reality is you still have 10 games to go, including another game coming up this Sunday against Baltimore. And just going to be honest with you, I think there is this perception that the worst is over for the Cleveland Browns. I think this week becomes about making that the reality. Because I think one of the things that was painfully obvious after Deshaun went out of that game was, at least when it came to DTR, the quarterback change that I was told by pretty much everybody was going to change everything. And you got to give that locker room a chance. Turns out it didn't lead to a win. And it led to a lot of procedural issues. It led to a lot of dumb penalties. It led to drops. It led to, just dysfunction in general. At least on one side of the ball, the defense had a pretty darn good day. So it's going to be really interesting if now you have another opportunity every week from here on out is trying to prove that Deshaun was the problem and that you can fix this offense, you being Kevin Stefanski, you being this offensive coaching staff, that you can fix this thing now that you don't have to be shackled to playing Deshaun Watson. But that taste of, hey, Elijah Moore didn't play in the first quarter. What was that? It's a team thing. But we're going to keep that in-house. You can't keep it in-house forever, Kev. You can't. You want to keep it in? If you want to keep it in-house, you might want to do a really radical thing right now, which is win games. Any games. They have to be good games at this point. Didn't have to look good. Just win games. Because yesterday became another stone in just what has been a rock pile, rubble, avalanche, however you want to say it, of awful football. And Browns fans, like, I'll be honest with you guys, I'm so tired of being embarrassed about the Cleveland Browns. Like, none of this first hour, guys, has been all that much of logic. It's just been pure emotion. It's just been, and I've tried to. For 3 years, I've tried to just logic it, right? At some point, I started compartmentalizing my own emotions, my own frustrations. I'm sure you guys feel the same way. And it's only going to go one direction here. Unless you can pull the nose up on this thing real quick. 216-474-0092. We obviously have started the show talking about the folks in the crowd on Sunday who were cheering Watson's injury. And in fairness, I don't think it was a huge amount of the crowd. Not that that makes it any better. One person doing it, it's bad enough. 10 people doing it, it's worse. 100 people doing it, they're really not good. But I really, really felt like the locker room, even though part of what they were saying had some real merit to it, man, do I think they sounded tone deaf yesterday. Madeline in Cleveland, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I mean, I just pretty much yelled for 45 minutes. So I feel better now. How about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I think the last 24 hours have been filled with a lot of emotion, a lot of frustration. But if you've been a Cleveland Browns fan, that's like fairly typical the past couple of years. So, you know, same old, same old. But I just kind of wanted to touch on, you know, what we've been saying about people cheering for Deshaun Watson's injury. I'll be completely honest. I was one of them. I wasn't at the game. I was watching it. And I think really what it comes down to is this is somebody who, you know, whether it's just allegations or if it's actual fact, this is someone who has this reputation of injuring other people, whether emotionally, physically. So I didn't feel as bad for kind of karma coming back around for him. And he's still getting paid a ton of money to sit at home and recover. Whereas the people who came forward about the assault, you know, they didn't get to sit at home with their $300 million. They're still not part of an organization that is going to care for them and apparently have a ton of people defending Deshaun's actions. So that's kind of where I stand by it. And I think it's important to consider that, you know, we're all for Cleveland and we want the Browns to succeed, but we've got lives outside of sports. And I just didn't like seeing someone like him who didn't engage with the community at all. You know, didn't give back to the community like Myles Garrett. I mean, like Nick Chubb, you know, our beloved heart and soul of the Cleveland Browns, you know, like that's someone who is worthy of respect and empathy. And when he got hurt, like obviously that hurt everybody. But I think Deshaun's situation is a little bit different. And that's just my two cents on it.
Madeline, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course.
So the one thing I'm not going to do is tell anyone how to feel about Deshaun. And I'm not going to scold Madeline for cheering, even though she wasn't at the game. I'm not going to do that because I think there's a lot of telling people how to feel going around and not enough listening. The reality is that approach, which is he's got money, his life is no worse off because he's got money and because, you know, he's basically had every opportunity to succeed. I think there's a lot of people that empathize with that. My counter would be, no amount of money is worth not having empathy towards you, but specific to it, this is what the position that Browns fans have been put in. And whether it was, I mean, the Watson wars are just the latest incidents of the Baker wars, of the Sashi wars, and those were a little bit more innocent because those were just about, is Baker good enough? Those were just about, hey, is tanking a viable alternative? And for 3 years, when fans twist in the wind, whether that is female fans, whether that is fans who themselves see maybe themselves in the eyes of Deshaun's victims, whether that is just people who make it just about football and the football wasn't good enough, whatever issue you can have about Deshaun, that was always a possibility on Sunday. And I'm a big believer in self-scouting and learning from your own issues, your own failure. I don't have a choice. If I don't learn from my failure, I don't have a house, I don't have a family, I don't have anything. Can't afford the life that I want to build for my family. So life makes sure that every time I get a boot up the backside, that I learn my lesson. And whether it was deploying players and the specificity of the messaging from players yesterday, whether it was how they've handled this Deshaun thing and continuously drawn it back to and hedge bets and double down and triple down on, well, it's just got to be about the football. It's going to be about the football. And then the football isn't worth it. I'm a little oversimplifying the situation here. But yesterday is on the Cleveland Browns. The last 3 years are on the Cleveland Browns. To some degrees, the guys that I've criticized in this segment, in this hour, Myles Garrett and Greg Newsom, although we haven't played Greg yet, and Jameis, they're a little bit more collateral damage from an organization that said they wanted an adult in the room and then brought the last 3 years upon their fans. You can't love fans when they're passionate because they say nice things about you, and then when those fans feel disrespected or not listened to or furious, try to tell them how to fan. The Cleveland Browns organization at any point in the last 3 years, including all the way back to the trade, could have avoided a lot of this. 216-474-0092. We got Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, next on 92.3 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.